welcome everybody to this month's episode of The Green Side. The Green Side is your radio show, podcast for all your information about golf equipment in and around the greens. We focus on 100 yards and in with a heavy emphasis on putters. The Green Side is a collaboration between PutterZone.com and TheHackersParadise.com and is hosted by Sean Weir from PutterZone and Josh from The Hackers Paradise. Welcome to the show this month, Sean.
Thanks, Josh.
How's everything treating you?
It's going great here, surviving the heat wave in California, late one this year. And before we were on the air, I heard the doorbell ring.
We got a little package delivered. The TaylorMade Daytona Ghost just arrived for review. And I'm pretty excited to try it out. I enjoyed the first Ghost. I thought it had one of the better alignment systems I had used recently. And the Daytona fits most people in their eye. I'm actually holding it in my hand right now. And, you know, this model, the original Answer style, the Daytona that Rossi uses, it's one that fits a lot of people's eyes, as we've discussed on the show before. And I didn't think going in I was going to like the white, but it grows on you, and I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I feared that white finish when I first heard about the Ghost line. I thought, wow, you know, how's that going to fly on the green? And they just picked the right shade of white.
They really did.
And I understand they chose it to match their main ball, and so it has, you know, it's not bright or obnoxious, and yet it's very vivid against the green, and you know, it's definitely a winner.
Yeah, so far I really like it. And we've talked about the Ghost before. We'll see how the Daytona stacks up to the original one, because I just loved the original one so much. But you're right. The white is it's a matte finish, so you don't have any glare or anything like that. But at the same time, it's just very striking. So yeah, we're looking forward to putting it into play.
Did I just hear some wrapping paper come off the grip?
Actually, you did. No, it wasn't off the grip. It was on the club head. So I had to
familiar sound to me.
I had to unwrap it for you and the world to hear.
There you go.
Speaking of new putters coming out, a line that you and I have talked quite a bit about is Ping releasing the new Scottsdale line, which is made up of a small cattle herd of putters. And you've tried a few of them. I've tried a few of them. What are your thoughts? Why don't you give a little background on the Scottsdale line first?
Yes, the Scottsdale line, the name honors the original Scottsdale putters that Ping put out many years ago, and it also honors the location of Ping in the Valley of the Sun of Arizona. And it has this cool little motif of a saguaro cactus on the sole that I really like. There are 14 models total in this line, so they just rolled out, like you said, with a herd of putters. And the unifying technology on all of them is what they call a thermoplastic elastomer face insert. And they say it offers a soft yet solid feel on every putt.
Yeah, so it's definitely to me, a crisper feeling insert than your typical, like, the Odysseys that you come across and everything else.
Yeah, and yet on some of the models that I've tried, it kind of has this dead feeling to me. It doesn't – boy, the feedback just isn't sophisticated to my ears and hands.
Yeah, that's one thing that I noticed, and I'll agree with you, is to me, I'm not even sure it's the sound for me as much – or the feel for me as much as it is the sound. Mm-hmm. The sound sounds so muted and almost hollow. But, you know, it puts a good roll on the ball. And one thing that I liked about them, and obviously they can do this when they release 14 putters with this line, is there really is something for everybody, not just in shape but in head weight. You know, I believe they go as low as 330 or 340 and up to almost 400 grams in head weight.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth on that. I mean, there is, you know, really is something for everyone in this line. And you know, of the ones that I tried, I really did gravitate toward one, and it's called the Pick'em-Up. And true to its name, kind of has this cool feature in the rear of the putter where you can scoop your ball up very easily. But it's a feature that doesn't really, you know, it doesn't jump out as you as a gimmick. I mean, it's artfully integrated into the design of the putter, but it's kind of a cool twist and kind of a cool name for a putter, the Pick'em-Up.
Well, me being as lazy as I am, that always sounds good to me. I've gravitated towards a white-hot number 7 for years for that very reason, and always shy away from it and always come back, like we spoke about last time. I'm a big fan of being able to pick the ball up without bending over. My wife would say that's just because that's the way I am, but I prefer to think it is just easier and less stressful on the back is how I'll phrase that.
Yes, and we're not getting any younger there.
Yeah. Now I have not tried
twinges in the hinges, right?
Exactly. I have not tried that model. I've tried, you know, their classic answer style and a couple others, and that's one of the ones that's intriguing to me the most is the pick 'em up because it's creating kind of this the most buzz is having a different sound and feel to the rest of the line.
Yeah, I found that the acoustics on this were quite different than the others, and it has true to the brand a real kind of ping quality. And even a buddy I was playing around on the green, and he sort of overheard it and said, wow, you know, that's different. And so it really does stand out, the sound of that putter. And the look is very balanced and has a nice purposeful design to it. Even has a sort of a built-in forward press, even though it's center shafted, which is also unique. It's kind of more of a hands forward setup. Might make it difficult for some people to align, but for those who want more of a center shafted style putter but are used to sort of the offset hosel, it's kind of a nice hybrid on that front. And I think Jimenez, the great Spaniard, won a tournament overseas with this putter already.
Yeah, I know that it's hot, and I believe he is the one that's using it. Speaking of new putters, there's another line being dropped soon. It's not out yet, and our friends at Cleveland Golf are adding to their Cleveland Classics line. And you and I have spoken on this show about the Cleveland Classics line before. You know, the Platinum, the BRZ, and now they're adding the Black Platinum to it, which is just a finish that I know is taking the world by storm, as I like to say. What are your thoughts overall on them adding to the line, and then we'll get kind of into the putters?
Well, I'm going to sound like a broken record because these classics, there's really not much more new to say. They're just so solid, and they offer so much bang for the buck, and this black Platinum putter just fits right into that entire family of putters so nicely.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, the first line was good looking, traditional, and you know, it had a nice little stainless finish. And for the money, I'm going off memory alone here, and we see a lot of numbers. I believe it was $69, and that was an incredible bargain, I thought, for what you got. You know, I know people will say, well, it's cast and it's not milled face, or it's, you know, it's not a forged piece of metal or anything like that. It feels crisp. I thought they had great feel. Call me an amateur, call me whatever you want. I thought they had great feel. They had a great audible tone at impact, and for the money, it was hard to beat. And it had tour proven success as well, as Jerry Kelly won a tournament with it.
$1 million, pulled one right off the retail rack.
Yeah, and then the BRZ to me took it to a different level for Cleveland in that line. I hadn't seen looks that good on a putter in that price range, maybe ever. Coming in at right around $100 and having...
I think it was like $89.
I think it was $89 or $99. Having that copper insert with the darker BRZ finish in photographs, and it was in this current issue of THP the magazine, I thought it was one of the best-looking putters. And it's funny, when we did our testing of that putter, we told people on the green, I want you to check this putter out. Cleveland's launching their new high-priced line, and told everybody it was $299. It was amazing how that worked into tricking, and I'm doing finger quotes on the radio for some reason, tricking people into thinking that it was a high line, and everybody was raving about it and thinking they wanted to run out and get it at $299. You know, it came with the oil cloth and this and that, and then you tell people it's less than $100, and they went nuts. I think the black kind of is an evolutionary part of that. I think it adds another finish to them. Black is extremely popular right now due to the sun and the glare and things like that. And coming in again at a bargain price, I think will make this a huge hit.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I think of the three finishes, I'm still most fond of the BRZ finish. I mean, that is it's just a stunner, and it's so distinctive as well. So, you know, there are a lot of black finish putters out there. So, you know, in terms of the finish of the Black Platinum, it's not adding necessarily anything new to the conversation, whereas I think the BRZ really kind of broke the mold. But the Black Platinum is, again, just I think like all of these classic putters, it's just, you know, for bang for the buck, really hard to beat.
It really is. One of the things that strikes me about Cleveland and their putter line is I know that a lot of companies have different lines to bring different price points, and they've really stuck with their putter line of that $100 range or below, you know, right around $100 or below. And I think at that level, and I know we're it's a broken record and we're beating the dead horse and everything else, but it's really hard to beat. The feel is not a harsh or bad feel. It puts a good roll on it. The face milling looks great. They have traditional shapes and styles that will fit most people's eyes. I believe there's five in each line. It's a really tough thing to look past. I had one in the bag. I had the BRZ model that's similar to an Odyssey number 9, you know, heel shafted mid mallet. And I loved it.
Yeah, they have a big hit on their hands, not with just us, because the fact that they're expanding into a new finish, essentially expanding the line, means that they're very confident about this family of putters and that they can add sort of a new twist to it. In a way, it's kind of like, you know, the Apple products. They're not throwing, like, you know, some of the other companies, 12, 14, 20 models at you. A lot of the models on these finishes cross over. In total, I think there's maybe 5 or 6 models. Not all of them are available in each finish, but, you know, it's like the iPod. You have the Classic, you have the Touch, you have the Nano, you know, and mm-hmm. we're going to make different iterations or we're going to evolve them. But there's a certain brilliant simplicity to the product and to the concept, and obviously people are snapping them up. So they're just evolving it rather than adding to it necessarily.
Now, shifting away from things that are new, an interesting story on things that are old. Jim Furyk, winner of the FedEx Cup this year, and, you know, the last tournament, recently jumped. He changes putters like I change my clothes, it seems anyway. Jumped into an older putter. Tell us the story behind it, and, you know, we can talk about the putter a little bit after that.
Yeah, it's funny. We go from talking about Jimenez winning a tournament with the Ping Pick'em-Up, I think about $150. We talk about Jerry Kelly winning with the Cleveland Classic, $69. And now we've reached the point where Jim Furyk is winning $1.35 million, as well as the $10 million bonus for the FedEx Championship with a used Yes Sophia putter that he pulled out of the used bin at a discount pro shop in Massachusetts. The price he paid for that putter was $39.
That's one of those things that makes you cry.
somewhere in Massachusetts, there's some guy saying, you know what? That's my putter.
Exactly. I think I want to make a little mark on each putter I have just so I ever know.
Because Furyk said there was this nick on the top. Mm-hmm. You know, very distinctive. So it's not just, you know.
Oh, that might be mine. I might have wrapped it around a tree at some point. You know, you hear stories like this, and you often wonder, could it have been me? In the grand scheme of things, Jim Furyk's a pretty good putter. It may take him 7 hours to make a putt or to line up a putt, but he's a pretty good putter. And the Yes Sophia as a putter in general is one I really like. I do like the Yes putters quite a bit. $39 for $11 million is hard to swallow for me. I think that, you know, if I break down the cost analysis, he did pretty well is the easiest way to put it.
Yeah. Return on investment.
Slightly. What are your thoughts on the Yes Sophia first?
You know, I haven't experienced that putter firsthand. Some of their similar putters, the heel shafted classic 8802 style blades, I think it's the Nikki that I've had, and I really like that. It has a beautiful, almost glassy, soft feel that I really like. And so
I believe the Morgan, the Yes Morgan, is also that same style, the one they're just coming out with now. You know, I have used the Yes Sophia. I like it. It's a shape that suits my eye quite a bit. I'm a little confused with some of the stuff that Yes is coming out because the shapes are very similar. But that one in general is one that was extremely popular, and now it's becoming even more popular, if that's kind of ironic, because they have a newer twist on that later on.
My site just blew up when that happened, because I'd written about it, and it was a huge story, not just on Putter Zone, but just in the media. I think people were drawn to that sort of everyman pull a putter out of a bin and do something magical with it. I guess every man is maybe a stretch there because not all of us have done anything remotely like that. But you know what I mean.
But every man can pull out a putter that makes them that makes a long birdie putt that,
exactly.
that wins their skin that day.
Exactly.
And that makes it all the interesting, which is funny going back to, you know, him pulling it out of a used bin. I haven't been to a lot of golf shops recently, but when I do, I never see like a nice yes putter for $39. I'm going to the wrong shops, I think.
Yeah, you know, from what I think one of the stories I heard was that they gave him a little extra discount.
So I think it was
– yeah, exactly. He needs it, especially after winning $11 million. But I think it was like 60 or something, and they threw him the friendly discount. Isn't that how it goes?
Of course.
These guys get all the free drinks when they walk in a bar.
Well, it's funny. Jim Furyk was featured on the cover of the spring issue of THP the magazine, and he won the following week that magazine came out. Fred Couples – won the following week his issue came out, the current issue, and our next issue was announced, which is Brittany Lincecum. We're expecting her to win when that one comes out.
It's like the reverse of the Madden curse.
It really is. All of a sudden, you know, people are going to be banging down our door, hopefully. But it's funny because Furyk, who a lot of people thought struggled last year, and part of that, I think, was he struggled with his putting. And he makes this switch, and I'm not sure now, as much as he's changed putters, I'm not sure he can make a switch again.
Give it a few weeks, huh?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, the two putters that when I think of Furyk, I remember him with is obviously the Odyssey White Hot number 7. He used that for a long time, changing from long to short to everything else. And then, of course, he switched to a Scotty Cameron and had some decent success with that, but no kind of success like this one. This is a huge deal, and you know, I'm happy for Yes because they get a win out of something, and it also goes to show you that you don't have to go buy the latest and the greatest if you find something you're comfortable with. But the latest and the greatest, I mean, between you and I, let's face it, it is much cooler.
Absolutely. You can't lust after something that came out years ago, right?
I know, but
it has to be the next big thing.
I want to go to all the golf shops in my area now and search through the bins and see if I can find some really nice used putters that suit my eye. For $39. It's just a necessity. I think my wife will kill me, but it's a necessity.
You know, it's interesting because I often hear people say, well, you know, it's the archer, never the arrow, basically, is what I hear a lot on putterzone.com. It's basically people dismissing a lot of what we write on the site, you know, accusing us of hyping these different putters and suggesting that it's really just the player and never the stick. And you know, there may be some truth to that, but you know, if you truly believe that, then you believe that, you know, there's no such thing as a perfect fit. There's no such thing that fits your eye. There's no such thing that fits your physique and your game. And you know, I don't believe that. I believe there is an arrow for every archer out there, and sometimes you have to look for it. But when you find it, you know, it can really make a difference in your game. And you know, Kenny Perry had a similar story, I think, to Furyk. You know, he was flailing around with his putting game, and then someone at his local course just handed him a Ping Crazy putter.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since, you know, he stuck with it, and he raised his game and, you know, lit up the tour. And I think that putter broke, and he was distraught. And he had to, you know, he went back to try and get it fixed and basically put back together exactly how it was because it just fit him so perfectly. So I think, you know, there's that quest that we all have to find the perfect putter, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that quest.
Well, I don't either, and it adds some fun to it. Now,
sure, exactly.
I'll say, you know, we hear a lot of times the same thing you do and that people are trying to buy their game and they'd be better off investing in lessons. And you know what? They're probably right. But let's face it. We want to try the latest and greatest. Most people do. If it suits your eye, and I think the putter more than any other piece of equipment – the quest for finding the perfect one for you can not only be the most fun, it can also be the most rewarding.
Exactly.
You know, hitting longer drives, hitting better wedge shots, hitting everything else is all great. And I focus on that much more than I do my putting, which is probably my downfall. But when it really comes down to it, when you find that putter that just clicks for you and you're making putts that you normally wouldn't make, you know, those 8 to 12 footers that we all miss far too often, that will make a huge difference, and I think the quest for the perfect putter for somebody is great. And I'll also go a step further and say if the equipment doesn't matter as much, then getting equipment fit for somebody wouldn't matter either. And we both know that a simple lie angle adjustment on an iron can be the difference in hitting it straight and missing it. So I'm a firm believer in that the equipment will help. It won't. You can't buy a game, but you can rent it for a brief period of time, and you can certainly make it more enjoyable for yourself.
Absolutely.
Now, speaking of equipment fitting and not fitting, there's a topic I want to touch on before we leave this week, and that is putter grips and grip size in general. And I know there's so much stuff that we've been talking about recently and seeing on TV recently as far as different types of grips on the putter, what works for people. You know, the oversized grips are coming into play more and more. There's even metal grips out there on putters. What are your thoughts on grip size and putter grips in general?
Well, I think grip size is really important, and it's often overlooked. And, you know, it seems like every episode I'm qualifying something and saying, you know, it's ultimately it's a personal thing. But, you know, if I said otherwise, I'd be leading you astray. But, you know, grip size, you think about it. If you go looking for a tennis racket, one of the first things they talk about is grip size. And they come at retail in different grip sizes. And obviously, they do for a reason, and that is because we all have different size hands. So this notion that you're going to pick up something off the rack that it comes in only one grip size and it's supposed to fit everyone is ludicrous. And yet, if you go down to your local golf course and ask the average recreational golfer if they've thought much about their putter grip, you know, the answer 9 times out of 10 probably is going to be no. So, you know, I think it's something that all of us should be aware of and maybe explore. Particularly if we're having trouble with our putting.
What do you feel and think that it benefits somebody? You know, a lot of people go to, let's say, their local golf store, a Golf Galaxy, Golf Town, something like that. They'll pick up some putters and they'll start rolling them on the putting green. And they'll feel the grip, and a lot of people like a softer grip, and some people like a harder grip or a skinnier grip and things like that, and it'll be a different sensation. How much of that do you think relays into the feel of the putter?
I think it has a big impact on that, not only on feel, but just really on your stroke. And a lot of these putters come out with these, most of them are standard sized, and you know, a lot of them have these really cool graphics. And how often do you see a custom grip on a store-bought putter, you know, when you're out at your local putting green? Very rarely. You know, you have to, if that standard grip doesn't fit your hand, or if you haven't explored, you know, your grip options, the next step to do so, if you want to change, is you have to go find someone to get it off, rip it off, go buy another, try different sizes. You know, it's a bit of a chore, but it can have an impact because, you know, given the nature of your stroke and your hand size and your physique, I think it can make a big difference.
What grip size do you recommend for people? And that's not even a right way to phrase it because everybody's going to be different. What grip size do you play?
You know, I veer towards standard, but I have pretty small hands for my size, no jokes. And so I feel like, you know, that kind of fits me. I might veer a little, you know, a little larger than standard on occasion, particularly because I have so many putters that are, you know, at hand in different grip sizes that I don't always have the luxury of sticking with one size. But with small hands, I find that the standard grip fits right. But, you know, again, my hands for my size are probably smaller than normal. So other people, you know, it's think about it. You know, if you have larger hands, that grip is going to feel a lot different than it does in my hands.
I'm with you. I find that if the grip doesn't fit me properly, I get very handsy. I know that's not even really a word, but most golfers will understand it, through my swing. If the grip is too thick and too big, my wrist breaks down quite a bit. And if it's too thin, I feel like I'm almost whipping at the ball.
And yeah, I think you've nailed it right there. I mean, that's it. And so the question is, you know, what is the middle ground for you that works for you? And for everyone, that is going to be a different answer.
And you can stay with a standard grip and build it up, and you could stay with an oversized grip and build it up. It's there's different strokes for everybody, and I agree with you. I think it's definitely something that more people should focus on.
I think it's just, if you go back to the tennis racket, I mean, it's just common sense. I mean, at the point of purchase, grip size is a big part of your choice and your options. In putters, it's not. I mean, or rarely is. I mean, certain companies like Seymour and others will offer custom options. But, you know, pretty much each putter comes out with a certain grip size, and that's it. And Yet for the same reason it's important in tennis rackets, it's important in putters to explore different grip sizes and see what might best work for you. And there's also another factor, and that's the shape of the grip. There's different, you know, some are more square, some are more oval. You have the pistol style grips, you have the paddle style grips. So it's not just the size, but also how it fits your hand.
Absolutely.
And your grip. So depending on how you grip the putter, depending on how your hand is shaped, depending on where the fleshy part of the hand hits the grip, you know, certain styles of grips may be more agreeable. And I think it's just important. It's what we always say. It's just be aware that this is the factor. That's the first step. And then maybe start exploring.
Yeah, we'll have to do a show where we make the checklist of the things that people should definitely be even considering more than normal when it comes to purchasing their next putter, because I do think a lot of people overlook stuff like this.
Sure.
And it's not always the easiest information to find out. So.
Well, when's the last time you walked into just your typical, you know, chain golf retailer and the guy's telling you, you know, well, you really got to think about the grip? Well, no, they want to get you out of there with a putter in your hand. They don't want you, you know, questioning things.
Exactly.
So.
Well, I think that wraps us up this week. We have a saying here that we want to share with everybody, and that is, don't fear the greens, conquer them. For myself at thehackersparadise.com and Sean at putterzone.com, tune in next month as we have an all-new show coming at you, and it is going to be full of great information. Goodbye, everybody.
Cheers.